Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on supertalk1270.com.
Area roads and highways are in seasonal driving condition. If you need statewide travel conditions, you'll find a link to the North Dakota Department of Transportation on our radio station's website. Or to learn more, call 511.
For your Tuesday coming up, a high wind watch goes into effect. First for today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine develop and reach a high temperature in the low to mid-30s. Winds breezy out of the west at 10 to 20. Then for tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, a low near 20 degrees. Winds strain to the south, 5 to 15. For the day on Tuesday, chance for some snow showers, otherwise cloudy, high of 32, gusty westerly wind. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll on Supertalk 1270. Right now, it's 25.
Welcome to the Tech Ranch, live and local here on Supertalk 1270. The latest gadgets, online security, websites and apps, social media, and so much more. How can technology help you? Let's find out. It's time for the Tech Ranch on Supertalk 1270.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And today on the Tech Ranch, we will begin a three-week series on CES, or the Consumer Electronics Show, that will be happening in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Viva Las Vegas, baby.
That's right. We're just excited about this. Today we'll be going over what I anticipate seeing, what the latest technologies will be coming out of CES. Part 2 will be live next week from Las Vegas. And then we'll follow a recap on the following week. And also today on the show, the founder of a brand new concept in educational funding for students that are college-bound, Will Garland from studentvote.com, will be on the show. So if you have any students in your family or even friends that will be attending college the next couple of years, you will want to stay tuned for this. And, of course, we always want to welcome our listeners on the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And at the control panel today is our producer extraordinaire, Jim Walsh. Jim, how you doing?
Not too bad. I'm getting over that cold I had last week.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thankful that I gave that to you the week before. Actually, I think it was Scott last week that gave
it
to you.
I think it was Scott, yeah. We're going to beat up on him together.
That's right. Exactly. Well, I'm sure you're feeling sorry for me since I'm heading off to Vegas for my grueling 2 weeks of hard work.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Cry me a river, pal.
I will do that. It should be a very, very exciting show this year. You know, this is, I'm thinking either my 14th or 15th year going to CES.
And, oh, you do this every year?
Every year, yes. Yeah.
I think a friend of mine is going to be there. I'll have to hook you guys up.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Let them know. And
not in a gay way or anything. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but maybe you can pair notes or something.
I appreciate that, yes. Anyway, we're going to talk a little bit about what I see coming out of CES this year. But first I want to talk about a little bit about Student Boat and scholarship funding, and Will be joining us after the break. Now, I know are you finishing up with school right now?
I have another, after this semester, I'll have summer semester, and then I'm hoping to be finished by the end of the year.
So do you have scholarships that you applied? Are you paying for this on your own?
I'll be honest with you. I never even thought to apply to scholarships. Okay. I've been getting financial aid, which is great. Of course, you have to pay it all back at some point.
Sure.
And I have family members who have offered assistance. So far, I have not taken it, but it is there as an option.
Sure. I didn't mean to bring up all that private stuff, but
it's all right.
I think a lot of people are kind of faced with the same dilemma, you know, in families. Now you're an OTA, of course. You know, at 28, I'm sure you're an older than average student.
28, yeah. It's been many moons since I've seen the big 2-8.
And it's cool that you are going back to school, but I think you add a really neat perspective to what Will's going to be talking about here. Are you familiar with crowdfunding?
No, I mean, you and I discussed it very briefly before the show, and I'd never heard of it.
Okay. It's basically used for tech startups and business startups, whatever. And basically, instead of having like an angel investor that would come along and give your company $100,000, whatever, the concept behind this is that you have many people. You might have 2,000 people that'll give you $5 a piece or whatever. Oh. And it's easier, you know, if there was a place that those 2,000 people could meet and give you $5 a piece, or $50 a piece, or whatever the case may be, or different levels, that it would be easier to raise your funding that way. And places like Kickstarter and Fundable.com, those type of places have actually made this a viable option for
businesses. They did a Simpsons show about that, where Lisa was trying to invent something.
Okay.
And I think it was Nelson the Bully who actually wound up funding her invention.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, there you go. So that's what this is kind of about. And Will's going to be talking a little bit about Student Boat, which isn't even a live website yet. This is a brand-new concept, so you'll want to stay tuned for this. So Vegas, have you ever looked at the CES show before, Jim?
Have I ever looked at what show?
The CES show. Have you ever gone there? Have you ever talked
I've never
to your
been
friend
to Vegas.
That's been there?
Oh. I've been in that part of the country. The closest I've been to Vegas was New Mexico, which is a very beautiful place, by the way.
Yes.
But that's the closest I've been.
Well, CES is an amazing show. There's a couple hundred thousand people that attend every year. I'm not sure. I don't think it's the world's largest show. In fact, I know it's not. But I think in the United States, it's the largest tech show. It's an absolutely amazing thing. You know, you could walk the entire show in the time that they give you and never get done. I mean, for the over the 4 days, it's absolutely amazing. And it's such an overload of you come back out of you actually get mentally tired going through there because there are so many unbelievably new ideas and people that are creative that are inventing things. A lot of these things never make it to market.
And I'm like you. I'm such a total geek that I would actually never consider the irony in going to Vegas to go to a tech show. Seriously, I'm like you in that. I'm not making a joke. I'm like you in that regard.
Yep.
I would go and I would love it. I wouldn't even think about the I might hit the keynote tables once or twice.
Yep. Yeah, I'm all for going to CES. And it's an amazing show. And I will actually be blogging about and taking video interviews and that type of thing. So at thetechranch.com, you know, if you want to follow as I travel around CES this year, you will certainly be able to do that. And we're going to go over a couple things that I think are going to be big this year. TV is always big.
I mean,
it's always big.
Or whatever we call it now. Is it really TV anymore?
Well, that's a good question, I guess. It's not television in your traditional sense anymore. I mean, people are able to order things online, on demand. It's absolutely amazing. I've heard rumors that somebody's coming out with a 110-inch screen this year.
Whoa.
Yeah, if you can imagine a 110-inch actual physical screen, not something that's a multiple-unit screen or whatever. And the big thing is going to be 4K ultra-definition televisions. So if you can imagine high definition going to the next level, that's what we're going to be seeing. And, of course, these are also going to be thinner and lighter. Absolutely amazing. So I think there's going to be there's one room that you walk into at CES, the main convention center, and I swear you could literally get a sunburn in that place. There are so many televisions going on. They don't even have lights on in the thing because there are so many TVs that illuminate the hall. It's absolutely amazing. So anyway, I think that'll be a big deal. Samsung, which I will be attending their press conference later on today, is going to be showing off a bendable smartphone. Yes, exactly what
you're making the smartphone. Note,
yeah. So what this is about is the ability so that it won't break. So if you drop your phone, even the glass in there won't shatter because it's a flexible glass.
It's made of flubber or something.
Yes, yeah. It's kind of a it's interesting you say that because the glass that will be in this was invented by somebody who was watching jellyfish light up, and they actually figured out a way for that to happen, and they use that technology, which is you'll actually see screens in the future that'll be coming out that you can actually fold up and put in your pocket. And you'll carry them with your cell phone or whatever. So you could unfold a 20-inch screen in front of you at the coffee shop and watch what you're doing on your tablet or smartphone.
It sounds like something from a cartoon.
It's amazing. And this technology is actually available already. It's just so expensive that it isn't mainstream yet. So I think that'll be very, very, very cool to see. So the other thing I think we're going to see a lot of is, you know, Windows 8 has just come out a few months ago. And just like, you know, when the iPhone came out and that type of thing, we're going to see a lot of activity around that. And with that, Jim, I think we're going to go to break.
Okay.
I think Will's calling in to talk about his website. So let's go to break. And then after the break, everybody, we will be back with Will talking about crowdfunding for scholarships. So you'll want to stay tuned for this.
You're listening to SuperTalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
roads and highways are in seasonal driving condition. If you need statewide travel conditions, you'll find a link to the North Dakota Department of Transportation on our radio station's website. Or to learn more, call 511.
For your Tuesday coming up, a high wind watch goes into effect. First for today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine develop and reach a high temperature in the low to mid-30s. Winds breezy out of the west at 10 to 20. Then for tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, a low near 20 degrees. Winds strain to the south, 5 to 15. For the day on Tuesday, chance for some snow showers, otherwise cloudy, high of 32, gusty westerly wind. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll on Supertalk 1270. Right now it's 25.
From our studio in beautiful Mandan, North Dakota, along the mighty Missouri River, here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Y'all still want me to come with you?
Is Vegas enough for you?
I think so. I'm ready to go now, that is for sure.
All right.
We'll be jetting out of here right after the show to head down to CES. So we're reporting live.
And I can't go with you. I got to stay here.
I know it. Well, somebody's got to stay back here so that I can, you know, send stuff back to you.
Well, that's true.
So I really appreciate that you do that for me.
Yeah, so Scott Wild is going to be here next week?
Scott Wild will be here next week, and I'll be broadcasting live from down there.
So excellent.
You bet. And on the line this morning is Will Garland. Will is a graduate from the University of Wisconsin, and he is the CEO and founder of studentboat.com. And Will, I want to welcome you to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thanks for having me.
Hey, we're excited to have you on the show. I find your concept very, very interesting, Will. So why don't you talk a little bit about what Student Boat is and how you came about. First of all, I love the name, so let's talk a little bit about the name.
All right. Well, the name came about. It's just a play on words stemming from scholarship. So, you know, you have a student, which is a scholar, and you have the ship part, which is a boat. So we put it together and had Student Boat.
That's very, very, very clever. So that's so studentboat.com, and I was just there this morning taking a look. You have a countdown going on there right now, and you're how many days out from launching?
We're going to be launching on the 16th of January. So if you get a chance, make sure you go to www.studentboat.com and pre-register so you can get those emails about our launch date.
Okay, and who are you wanting to register on your site? I mean, what is your target audience, and what will Student Boat do for those people?
So the site is basically an online platform where students can raise money for school by creating their own scholarships and getting supporters who are interested in education and that student to donate funds to assist them through school. So initially, we're looking to attract those students, those ambitious students who are willing to create their own scholarship and then leverage those social networking tools to reach out to their families, friends, professors, and then get those people to come on the site to help fund the student scholarship.
This is absolutely an amazing concept. So how far out from you going to college would you say would be okay to start with Student Boat?
It's okay to begin at the age of 13. So any student who's in high school or just wanting to get started early can begin. The actual scholarship fund won't be given to the student or to the student's institution until they reach until they're enrolled in college.
Okay,
but
so it's
always best to begin early, really get your name out there, and raise as much money as you can to help out with school.
Okay, and Jim has a question for you, too. About grad school. So go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I was just wondering how it applies, if it applies, if it can be applied toward grad school.
As long as the grad school is an accredited program, it can be applied to grad school. So we have an option on the site. If you are an undergrad and you want to continue your education to keep it going, or you can go about creating a new student boat scholarship specifically for grad school.
Okay. So let's say I have grandchildren. And I want to start, a fund, or I mean, I can, and they sign up for Student Boat, you know, for their birthdays, Christmas, whatever. I could actually give monies, you know, during those specific times or whenever to that student, correct?
Correct. And, you know, a great time to give is really at that high school graduation party. So
okay.
A lot of people are unsure of what to give a student or a family member or a friend, and that student vote is the perfect to help out with that. You can give directly towards their education, and that's by far the most important thing.
That's a great idea, actually, because I agree with you. You know, when you attend a lot of high school graduation get-togethers, you know, you really don't know what to give that student. You know, you may even know the parents better than the student, and that's why you're attending.
Exactly.
So this is a great way to do that. So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. And how did you come up with this? I mean, was there, besides the name, where did you tie crowdfunding to scholarships?
Stemmed back to my high school days. So I was filling out a scholarship day, and I thought I was a great person. I was awesome, but I wasn't receiving that response from the scholarships that I was applying to. I was doing about three scholarships a day for 6 days a week, about 18 weeks straight, and I was taking higher level courses, varsity sports, and it required a lot of my time. So eventually, I did. I was so grateful. I received a scholarship from the university, a full academic scholarship, but it didn't cover my cost of living and food a lot. I don't know about you guys, but I eat a ton, so that was a big expense for me. And I eventually got into school and realized that I still had to work really hard to raise funds. And I worked for the UW Foundation. And while I was there, I was raising thousands of dollars for the school for scholarships.
Okay.
But I was still receiving just a paycheck.
Sure.
Yeah. So, and a lot of the people I spoke about how they really felt that they wanted a personal connection with the people they were giving back towards, and they needed to know who they were helping out. So that really molded my mindset of this connection. And then while in school, a really, really close friend of mine came to me, and they said they had to leave because they couldn't afford the school. And what I did was I worked with them, and we created a website, and it just had a PayPal button, and it was basically the premise of it. And it allowed people to give towards that student's education.
Okay.
And they just talked about how they were loving the school and how they had very ambitious goals, but they really didn't have the funds, and so they were reaching out to the community for help. And that's really how Student Vote got started. I said, maybe there's a bunch of other people who have, you know, who could benefit from this. And the guy even offered to pay me, and I said, oh, no. You know, you need all the money you can to further your education. So that's really how Student Vote got started.
Well, I think it's a great partnership between what the internet is capable of doing. You know, a person always looks for the unique things that internet type of websites can do, and Student Vote certainly, I think, kind of plays into that. You think about that, you know, maybe all the ideas for online stuff has been taken up, and here you go. Here's a brand new idea that can help, you know, literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of students across the country to raise dollars. Studentvote.com, everybody, you know, make sure that you get over to that site, sign up, and any other comments, Will, that you want to make before we have to go to break here?
I just want to thank you for having me in the show, and, you know, we truly believe everyone deserves a scholarship. And when you get a chance, check out studentvote.com, www.studentvote.com, and we'd love to help you, whether you're a student or if you're just somebody passionate about education. It's a great place to find students for fun. So thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, I have one quick, I guess we have another minute or two here, Will, yet. On the, if you're an educational, you know, if you're a professor or if you're a high school counselor or whatever, can schools themselves sign up or consult students to sign up here as well?
Yes, they can consult students to sign up, and you know, that's really what we're driving to do. So we really want the schools to get involved, and that's why we work directly through the universities. And I didn't mention it, but the way it works is, in order for the student to receive the scholarship, we have to verify that they're enrolled. So, you know, it just provides that extra security for
gotcha.
the supporters, and it really makes that student that more credible.
Now, if a you know, a lot of high schools have smaller scholarships that they offer. Are you thinking that those scholarships will be deposited into this account as well?
we eventually want to have that. Right now, you know, we're just looking for individual supporters to give those the smaller crowdfunding amounts, you know, the tens and the $25.
So is there a minimum amount that a person can donate?
The minimum amount is $10.
Okay. Okay, so if I wanted to give a gift to somebody, I can just give them $10, or I can give them, as I'm assuming that there's no cap on it.
Correct.
Okay.
There's no cap, but you know we really push towards those amounts of $10 to $50.
Sure. Okay, well, I guess we're up against the break here. So again, we really appreciate that you were on the show, and if you have any further updates, you know, after you launch or whatever, feel free to give us a holler, and we'll update everybody about studentboat.com.
All right, I'll definitely do that. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Will. Take care. All right, and Jim, I guess it's back to you and I here.
Just you and me, kiddo.
That's right. So I'm getting geared up to go to CES. I'm just going to rub that into you today a little
Vegas,
bit.
Vegas, baby. Yeah. Bring out the inner Elvis in all of us.
That's right. So we will return shortly, everybody, and we will continue our countdown, if you want to call it that, of the technology that I think we'll be seeing coming out of CES. So come on back, everybody.
Listening to Supertalk 1270's podcast, available online at supertalk1270.com.
Windwatch goes to a first otherwise cloudy, high of 32, gusty westerly wind. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Caro on Supertalk 1270, currently 28.
We're back to the Tech Ranch. Stream this program now at supertalk1270.com. Here is your guru of geek, Marlo Anderson.
And welcome back to the Tech Ranch, everybody. I was waiting for Jim to throw up. There we go. I knew he had some other Vegas tune coming up.
This is the slow version of Viva Las Vegas.
Really?
Sean Colvin. Very nice.
Okay. Well, we'll let her play in the background a little bit while we talk here.
Yeah.
We will be moving into some of my picks here for what I think we're going to be seeing for CES, some of the technology coming out of there. And I'm sure you're familiar with a lot of the Windows 8 you know, the rollout that we had this year with Windows 8. Have you used it at all, Jim?
I'm trying to remember when we bought our newest computer. It was about a year ago.
Okay, so probably Windows 7 on there. Yep.
What a turkey. What a dud.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We had a terrible time with it.
Okay.
Well, we don't even use the search engine anymore. We use Foxfire.
Okay, so you're not even using Internet Explorer that came along with it?
Oh, God, no.
So,
no, we use Foxfire.
Okay, cool. I guess I'm a Google Chrome user myself, so I can understand your dilemma with Internet Explorer. But I think Windows 8, you know, in my opinion, is kind of a game changer, and it's gaining some momentum and some speed.
Okay.
You know, so I think, you know, there's a lot of people are not really crazy about the new interface with it or whatever, but as they use it, they're finding that it is intuitive, and I just think that you're going to see more and more things coming out with Windows 8, and I think CES is going to kind of prove that with this interface, because it's a touch-based interface as an operating system. I think you're going to see a lot of manufacturers that are going to come out with some very, very clever designs for tablets and computers and what have you that will be introduced at CES this year.
Would it be worth the trouble, the time, the trouble, the money, et cetera, for me to get it?
Well, you know, there is a little bit of a learning curve.
Okay.
But if you're not really happy with Windows 7 And
never have been happy with Windows 7.
You know,
never.
You could make the move to Windows 8. Just know that it is a touchscreen interface, so it's kind of designed with that way. But the thing is that there are some tweaks that you can do to make it look more like even Windows XP or Windows 7.
So it's a touchscreen.
Yes, but you have to have a touch screen for that function to work.
Yeah,
so
I've
what you do then is that you can roll it back to a Windows 7 look or a Windows XP look, and then you can utilize it that way. But 8 runs so much better, I have to tell you. And even Nick, wrestler, you know, over at one of my companies here in the area, you know, he works a lot with Windows 8. And right away he wasn't really crazy about it, but now – he won't shut up about it. You know, it really is. He really, really enjoys Windows 8, and he likes the fact that it's a minimal operating system and it works very, very well. So that's saying a lot coming from Nick. So have you noticed this other trend, by the way? Phones with massive screens. Have you seen these big honkers that have been coming out? Again, you know, it used to be where phones were getting smaller and smaller, and now because of the touchscreens on them again, and people using them for taking photographs and video or whatever. You've seen this kind of move back to larger ones. And
you mean like an iPad? A phone that looks like an iPad or something?
You know, it's almost that size. There are some 7-inch screens out there now, and people are actually calling them phablets, phones and tablets put together. I just think it's a little clumsy to be holding this huge phone up to your ear.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming that people are going to be using some Bluetooth headset or whatever when they're using these. But because it's become somewhat popular, I do believe that we're going to see a lot of new phones coming out at CES this year that have these large screens on them. So I don't know how I feel about that, actually.
Yeah. Like you say, if you're traveling, I would think it would be a little more cumbersome taking something like that on board an airplane than if you have a little something you can stick in your pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I can see that if a person is, you know, literally using it like a tablet and if they have a headset or whatever, but putting that thing up to your ear to talk, I just don't see that at all. So
I can see it working if, for example, you're in a line of work where you're going to be sending and receiving a lot of information via phone.
Sure.
In other words, well, let me send you these numbers I crunched earlier today, and you click it and you send it over, and they can look at it right there and then and say, well, I think you need to fix this, this, and this.
Yep. And I guess you have to kind of take a look and see, you know, I guess when we talk about things in general, we always think about mass appeal. You know, phones really aren't that way anymore. They try to find these little niche markets, and so you're right on the money when you say that they probably found a little niche for these massive phones, and that's what they're going for. So the next thing I think you're going to see, and speaking with you know, moving forward with smartphones here, is that the ability to play full 1080p HD videos. And you know, again, I don't know if that's a little over the top, but the one thing that I see with the ability to play those is if they have an HD, that you can hook up an HD cable to them and plug it into your TV, then you can play directly to your television that way, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So I can see that. This is one that I know we've talked a little bit on the show before, but I think you and I are going to get into this a little bit more right now, and that's gadgets that can charge wirelessly. Have you seen this? Wireless electricity?
I think, we did touch upon that a couple of weeks ago.
Yes. And I'm going to give you
the idea because this thing is always running out of gas.
Right, right.
My droid here.
So basically what happens, and mine's the same way. I mean, I use it with so many different things. Basically what would happen, so let's say we're in a station here and we had a wireless charger. Yeah. And if our phones were capable of accepting that charge, we could just lay it right on the table here and our phones would charge.
Amazing.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know. You know, I always look at the health side of things and not sure if there's going to be health ramifications from that. I mean, imagine you and I, you know, sticking our head in a microwave. I mean, you know, not a good thing. And I just think about that when we have wireless electricity going through. Now, to give you the history of this.
Well, I work at a radio station. We've got all that stuff.
Yeah, you got stuff bombarding
anyway.
You anyway. So what's one more thing, right? Back in the 70s, there was this move on to put a satellite up that had huge solar collectors on it. And what they were going to do is they were going to beam this power to Earth. And you think about, you know, that
death
they could,
ray.
Yeah. And that was actually one of the things that they were concerned about. That if somebody were to fly through this beam or whatever, what would it do to an airplane? Or, you know, there was all kinds of crazy things.
Well, that was the Cold War. They were probably afraid the Russians were going to fly through it deliberately.
one of the things that came out of that, and they never actually got it to work like they wanted to. You know, they didn't quite get that delivery system now, but they kind of invented wireless electricity because of this. And there are homes, for example, there's a home in Sweden that is run entirely on wireless electricity. Mm. So when you go to toast your bread, the toaster runs on wireless electricity. Your TVs run on wireless electricity. So there are literally no plugins in this
house.
So
it can be done.
It can be done. It has been done, yes. Yeah, so what they're doing now is they're trying to, of course, it's cost prohibitive at this time to actually put this in a house. But
bingo.
So they're slowly moving this stuff out. And the thing that makes a lot of sense is our tablets and cell phones. And so I think that's what you're going to see is devices. In fact, I think most of the tablets and phones that you're going to be buying, you know, smartphones, that type of thing, are going to have this ability to charge wirelessly now. And you'll put it within either on something, you just lay it on a pad, or you'll have it within 5 or 10 feet of this wireless device, and it will charge your phone.
Like I say, the only thing I could see people being concerned with, rightly or wrongly, a lot of people, the same kind of people who are concerned about, you know, too much use of the cell phone near their head.
Right, right.
They're going, geez, what's this thing doing to my inner workings here?
Yeah.
And because am I going to get an instant case of cancer doing this?
Well, you sometimes wonder about this, and I'm sure that there will probably be studies done on this, of course. It is a relatively new technology, and I have to admit, I would have the same concerns. So, but I think it's a very, very cool thing, and if everything checks out with this, I think it'll be very, very cool. It'll be something that you're going to see progress into other things, you know, either in businesses or in your house. And, you know, one of the things I think about is that, you know, you go to a coffee shop, for example, and you're working on your tablet or your laptop or whatever, and you have no place to plug in. I mean, if you had the ability to charge your device wirelessly while you're sitting there, my goodness, that would be amazing. So it really would be.
It would.
Yep.
You sit there all day, and they finally have to throw you out.
Well, they do that.
Get out of here.
They do that to me anyway.
Stop sucking up our juice. Get out of here.
My dollar coffee goes a long ways of pulling electricity for an hour or for hours on end at the coffee shop. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, after the break, we are going to continue our conversation about driverless cars. We talked about this a little bit last week, and Google has one out. But there are new companies that will be introducing wireless cars or driverless cars at CES. So come on back, everybody. We'll be talking about that and more after the break.
This and other podcasts of Supertalk 1270 online at supertalk1270.com.
Area roads and highways are in seasonal driving condition. If you need statewide travel conditions, you'll find a link to the North Dakota Department of Transportation on our radio station's website. Or to learn more, call 511.
For your Tuesday coming up, a high wind watch goes into effect. First for today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine develop and reach a high temperature in the low to mid-30s. Winds breezy out of the west at 10 to 20. Then for tonight, becoming mostly cloudy, a low near 20 degrees. Winds turning to the south, 5 to 15. For the day on Tuesday, chance for some snow showers, otherwise cloudy, high of 32, gusty westerly wind. That's your latest forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Carroll on Supertalk 1270. Currently 28.
Follow your guru of geek everywhere he goes. Post your comments or questions at thetechranch.com. Let's head back to the studio and join the conversation.
You're really, really making me want to get out of here, aren't you?
Check it out.
When I was young, left my home and went away to Vegas.
Buck Owens.
Really?
The great Buck Owens.
Wow.
With my guitar and my dreams, I had to try to play and sing.
Well, the reason you're hearing all the Vegas tunes today, everybody, is that we are, as soon as the show's over, heading off to Las Vegas.
No, you're heading off to Las Vegas.
Well, there's...
I gotta sit here.
There is a we contingent. It's just not you, so...
Yeah.
But we are...
What do you mean we, Kimosabe?
Yes. Going to be attending some press conferences later today about some new technologies at CES. And one of them that we're going to be going to is a press conference with Samsung. And they're going to be rolling out their new smart TV. And you're going to see a lot of smart televisions coming on board. And basically what happens with a smart TV, think of it like a tablet hooked up to the internet where you can actually watch television, but at the same time access other content as well. So while you're watching TV, you can have your stock ticker cone across the bottom, or you can access YouTube or Zuvio to watch some videos. There's just all kinds of crazy things that you'll be able to do with your smart televisions. And I anticipate a future where you're going to find TVs that will basically be your computer. That's where we're moving to. So, and in fact...
Well, computers are already your TVs for a lot of people.
Yes, and in fact, that was my segue to... I'm skipping over the driverless cars for a second because of the Samsung
thing. Oh, did I step on your segue?
No, sorry. That's okay. Because my next thing after the driverless cars, which we're going to go back to, is TV tablets. And they're actually coming out this year at CES. This is a development that's basically U.S.-bound, but RCA has just announced that they are coming out with a tablet that will be an Android and a television at the same time.
Okay.
So if you're in an area that you can get, you know, it's actually got a built-in HD antenna on this thing, and you will actually be able to receive local broadcasts that are being broadcast digitally, along with just, you know, a flip of the switch being able to go right to a droid.
Now, since we're talking about traveling and all, how does that work on an airplane?
Well, you wouldn't be able to watch TV on the airplane, okay. I don't believe. You know, and in fact, I think you're moving so fast that even if you got something for, you know, you'd be done in a couple minutes anyway.
Do they have Wi-Fi on airplanes?
They do.
Oh, okay.
Not all airplanes at this time, but they do, and more of them are coming out. And usually it's a $5 or $10 charge for that.
No big deal.
Yeah, it's not a big deal.
I would gladly pay that just to have something to do while trying not to think about my hatred of flying.
Yeah, I was on a flight here not too long ago where they actually were offering it as a test, and I was actually kind of surprised at how good it was. So absolutely available. But I think these TV tablets, this is just my prediction, but I think this time next year when we're talking about CES 2014, one of the products that I think will come out of CES that I think will have a dramatic impact will be TV tablets, because I can see, I mean, people use tablets to stream video content now. I mean, imagine being able to just to turn the local news on your tablet or whatever it is that you want to catch and be able to watch it that way as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty cool. So let's move on to the Google car. Now, I know
the
we talked
about Google car.
Yes, and this was both,
the Volkswagen,
I think,
Google.
We were both, Scott and I, this was on our top tech picks for 2012, and it's an autonomous car. I mean, a person literally drives or rides. I shouldn't say drive. You ride around in this car. You tell it, you literally say, I want to go to wherever, in whatever town, and it will drive you there without your interaction at all. It's absolutely amazing how this thing works. And now Toyota and Audi are going to show off their own autonomous cars at CES this year as well. Now, these cars have been approved for, you can drive with an autonomous car in California, and I know that two other states now are going to have legislation up that they'll be approving this as well. So if you're in the state of California, for example, you can literally buy, or will be able to buy, an autonomous car and let it drive you around. How do you feel about that,
Jim? I don't know if I like that or not. I'd be concerned about a child or something, or somebody's dog getting out in the road in front of it, and it never sees it. How does that work?
Well, that is a good question. It is loaded full of sensors, and their test pilot car has driven over 300,000 miles now, and it has been involved in two accidents. Those two accidents, though, were caused by humans. somebody that was actually driving the car for whatever reason. And well, in fact, the one let me clarify that. The one was in a parking lot where somebody was driving it and hit something. The other one, the car was rear-ended. So in both instances, it was not even the car's fault. So
that's my concern, because human ingenuity being what it is, they'll always find a way for it to not work.
And, you know, as scary as this is, and I'm kind of with you. I would have a hard time
relenting. It's like the old joke. I mean, like in 1910, there were like two cars in the entire state of Nebraska.
Right.
And what do you think happened? They ran into each
other.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, I would imagine that there will probably be a little bit of a thing. But, you know, when you fly, for example, do you think the pilot has control of the plane when you're landing?
Not completely, no.
That's correct. Now, I'm sure there's some safeguard where they can just flip a switch and they can take over control of the plane. But basically, when you land a plane, it's basically all automated now.
Well, space shuttle, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's all over the place.
I mean, basically, the pilot's there in case the wheels fall off the wagon.
And subways.
Yeah.
You know, you're on a subway or a tram. I mean, I ride trams all the time when we're traveling.
Yeah.
Totally driverless, you know. So I guess, you can see this progression. And I see a lot of benefits to it. You know, I don't know if I'd be comfortable with sleeping in the back of the car while my car is taking me over to, you know, Fargo, North Dakota or something.
You go to some amusement park and they got some kid running a monorail who looks like he's been up smoking weed all night.
Yes. Yeah. You know, so I see this coming, and of course we've watched movies in the past where you have this too, so it'll be interesting to see how this thing develops. I see some implications that I think will be probably a cool thing. So by next on the list, and in this, to me, you know me, I love when old technology comes back to life. I'm sure you're familiar with Polaroid.
Of course.
Okay. And, you know, Polaroid really made their mark because you could actually take a photo and it would print right from the camera.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they've come up, and Polaroid, kind of like Kodak, I mean, Polaroid went out of business quite a few years ago. The name has been around because they licensed the name to Unique Products or whatever, and Kodak is kind of going through that right now. But there's an Android packing Polaroid with interchangeable lenses. So Polaroid is coming out with an Android tablet that you can actually put a camera lens on and take photos with. I find that very intriguing, you know, from a person, because, of course, I love to take photographs.
Yeah.
And the ability to put a lens on a tablet and, you know, zoom in and back out, and I think that's pretty cool. I don't know what you think about that. Now, I know you're kind of a photo bug yourself. At least in your earlier years, because I think you've talked about using your dad's old 35mm quite a bit.
Yeah, old Nikon camera.
Yep. So, you know, you're kind of almost going back to that.
Yeah.
Where you're taking a tablet and putting those lenses on.
Well, I wouldn't mind doing that. I wonder how many of the younger generation, the generations coming after us, I wonder how openly they would embrace it.
Well, I think they're going to be okay with that. You know, what I see happening is maybe professionals using this right away.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure the price is going to be up there. But I just find it very intriguing. And the thing that I like about it is that, you know, a tablet that's got a 7 or 10-inch screen as you're snapping photos, I mean, you have this whole thing right in front of you that you can see what you've done, not these small cameras or phones or whatever that you're looking on these small screens. So and taking really, really great photos with. So anyway, those are my what I see coming out of CES. I'm sure I'll be coming back with all kinds of other crazy things.
Mm-hmm.
There always is. I'm always fascinated by the holographic technologies. Have you seen these things? The holographic television.
Well, I've seen on TV, on science fiction shows.
Well, think of Star Wars. You know, that little thing that they have where they have
help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Very good. They actually have these stands that you can actually they show it off every year, and you can actually – they actually project these images right into the
air. Star Trek, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's absolutely – I think that's going to be a technology that you're going to see more and more of. The price is coming down quite a bit. So anyway, Jim, it's been a great show, and yes – throw the Vegas music up there, baby.
Oh, baby.
We will be broadcasting live from Las Vegas next week, everybody, and we'll be coming back with CES Technologies. And remember to follow me on thetechranch.com because I will be blogging about my new finds all week long.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Jim, it's been a pleasure, and you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Viva Las Vegas, baby.
Take care, everybody.
Podcasts of this and other shows are now available on SuperTalk1270.com.